Here with us on the State Capitol Report, I'm Kate Archer Kent. Governor Walker signed a package of 11 foster care bills into law last week, just 4 months after their submission to the legislature. They're designed to address specific needs in the state foster care system, including increased support and financial assistance for foster families. Natalie Goodnow is a research fellow for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Natalie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on today.
Well, before we dig into the so-called Foster Forward package and what they contain, let's first look at the issues this legislation aimed to address. What challenges do foster children and foster families face here in Wisconsin?
One of the biggest challenges that we're seeing right now is just simply the increase of kids in care. So over the last 5 years, the state of Wisconsin has seen about a 20% increase in the number of kids in foster care. And that's twice the rate of growth that's happening nationwide. So we're quite a bit above the national growth there. And because of that, a lot of foster care providers around the state are being inundated with children coming in, and that's stressing out the system. So I think that's really one of the biggest issues right there is you need more foster families stepping up and providers need a greater capacity.
Why the influx? Why are so many children going into foster care?
Well, part of this can be attributed to substance abuse, largely driven by the opioid crisis. So in a recent report that we put out, we in fact looked at kind of the connection between the opioid crisis and this increase in kids in care. A lot of people had kind of suspected that there was a connection, and our report found that indeed there is. So in areas where prescription rates are higher, opioid-related hospitalizations are higher, so are the number of kids in care.
So let's turn to this Foster Forward package. Where did ideas for these bills come from? I mean, this was only introduced to the legislature about 4 months ago, and bam, there you have 10 bills or 11 that are able to go forward.
Yes, I think the speed that this happened at is really remarkable. So the task force was created last summer, and then right away they went around on kind of a listening tour around the state. I believe it was 6 different hearings that they had, and I think they did a good job of trying to hear from a variety of voices. So they heard from different advocates, they heard from providers, youth who'd been in foster care, foster parents, and so forth, to really get a picture of what was needed around the state. And then I think one of the things that helped push this through is that there just is a really genuine need for reform on this. And this was a bipartisan effort. And, you know, if it just makes sense, it goes through. So I think that's what we saw here.
Well, genuine need for reform, was it because Wisconsin's laws weren't keeping up with the modern challenges of the foster care system in America and here in Wisconsin?
Yes, I think that's true. And I think that is true of many states, frankly. The child welfare system is one that doesn't receive a lot of attention, and especially as communities are being placed under pressure through the opioid crisis, I think some of the flaws in the system are really coming to light. So fortunately, people are taking this opportunity to make needed changes to streamline the system and provide better supports for the people involved in it.
Natalie Goodyear is with us. She is a research fellow for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you or were you a child in the state's foster care system? What was your experience like? Are you a foster parent or a foster family? What kind of support do you or don't you get from the state? What kind of help do you need? And will these laws impact you? Will they make a difference? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Natalie, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty created a report, did some digging into this. What were your major takeaways? What did you find?
Well, first, our biggest one was that there was this connection between the opioid crisis that we're seeing and the number of kids in care. Another thing we found, unfortunately, was that the rate of neonatal abstinence syndrome, so that's when babies are exposed to drugs or alcohol in the womb and are born addicted, is strongly related to the number of kids age 0 to 1 in foster care. And neonatal abstinence syndrome has quadrupled in the last 10 years. So we're seeing more and more infants entering care because of caretaker drug abuse, which is really heartbreaking.
And so if they are in that situation in foster care, they will have probably a lot more needs than another child who is not born addicted.
Yes, that is correct.
And that means also then that the foster family has to be trained up for that in order to respond to that infant and be able to provide the care that's needed. Is that difficult?
Yes. Well, the state does offer some trainings here and there. And I think the idea behind one of these bills that was on increased supports for foster parents was to improve the accessibility of trainings like that. To make sure that foster families really are equipped to provide the best care possible for these vulnerable children.
So what did the report show about the Foster Forward package of bills?
So there are a lot of strengths with the Foster Forward package, which we were really excited about. I mean, one of the things that you see is there's a lot of flexibility. So there's different types of grants that are available, one of which focuses on prevention, which is great. We're seeing a kind of a nationwide shift towards prevention efforts to help keep families together before kids enter care. Another thing we saw was an increased focus on normalcy for kids. So, for example, transferring school records faster if they switch schools, or making sure that they receive proper dental care, different things like that, just to try and make their lives a little smoother in a difficult situation.
Can you dig a little deeper into these 11 bills in the package and what they do? What are some of the ones that will really be significant for the foster care system?
I think one of the ones that will be influential is this increased focus on the CASA program. So CASAs are court-appointed special advocates. So those individuals spend a lot of time with kids and the people in their lives and report back. So they have a nice comprehensive picture. And those are volunteers that step up to do that. And research has shown that those have a positive impact on helping kids' cases get handled. So I think that's one of them. I think there are a couple other bills regarding the appeals process for the termination of parental rights and so forth that will help, like I said, streamline the process and help kids be placed in permanent homes a lot faster, which is always the goal. Stability, security are two primary objectives.
And the CASA program you mentioned, you know, those CASA volunteers are the true advocates, eyes and ears during court proceedings. CASA volunteers can be very helpful for the judge because that CASA volunteer has spent time with the child. Do these bills help give children in the foster care system more of a voice?
I think so, yes. I mean, with funding for things like that, yes, I think they do. Now, hopefully, they will continue to make reforms to the system as well, because I do think there are continued areas for improvement. But this is a great start, and I'm so excited that Wisconsin is taking the lead on this.
Have there been other states around Wisconsin that have, is this a trend? Have other states decided to really focus on reforming their foster care system or at least overhauling and updating it?
Yes, I think you're seeing other states realizing that this is an issue as well. So, for example, Arizona just signed into law just a couple days ago, I believe, reforms surrounding babies born addicted to substances. So that law was put in place to help them find a permanent home much faster. So they go through everything a lot quicker. I'm trying to remember the exact phrase, rocket docket, I believe was mm-hmm. the term they used. Because when kids are going through that stage developmentally, they really need to have stability and continuity. And having them transferred around to multiple placements or back home and back in care, bouncing back and forth, that really is not good for their long-term development. So that's just one example, but other states are investing more in collecting data and so forth so they can refine their reforms. And so there's a lot of change that's beginning to happen across the country.
This legislation was spearheaded by Representatives Steve Doyle of Onalaska and Patrick Snyder of Schofield, and 11 bills signed into law last week by Governor Walker that are aimed to address specific issues within the foster care system. Natalie Goodyear stays with us. She's a research fellow at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. New report out on these bills. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1222. Are you or were you a child in the state's foster care system? What was your experience like? And if you're a foster parent or foster family, what kind of support do you or don't you get from the state? What kind of help would be very important? What are the needs? And what will these laws do for you? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Natalie, some bills to improve the foster care system didn't get passed as part of this package this session. What did they do?
So the two bills that didn't get passed this session but may be revisited later on were one that looked at caseworker caseloads. So there was supposed to be a committee to study that. And then the second was around tuition remissions for former foster youth who are going to school to make it easier for them to achieve higher education.
Do you think that these bills will come around again? Do you think that they're dead, or will we see some life to them in the future legislative action?
It's tough to say, but I think there is a chance that they might be revisited. So we'll see. I wouldn't say they're completely dead yet. Fingers crossed, but I'm hopeful that they will.
Let's bring in Guy now, joining us from Elkhorn. Hi, Guy.
Hi. I have a question, I'll take my comments off the air. I was wondering if it's common for someone to be victimized by Child Protective Services of Wisconsin, various counties, when a child is taken from the parents basically before it's born. The grandmother of the child made a report of me and my girlfriend at the time that we were unfit parents, and Child Protective Services contacted us and literally took him from the hospital when he was 2 days old. Is it common for reports to be made and the cases to be built before the child's even born? And thank you.
Guy, thanks for the call. Natalie, have you been able to explore this?
So this isn't something we've explored too much, another way of looking at it is, so if you're dealing with, and I'm not sure what the situation was here, but there are situations where if a child is born addicted, the doctors might know beforehand, and depending on a family's history and the severity of the addiction, they may take a child more quickly. The situation that he described sounds a little bit more unusual from what I'm familiar with, but Like I said, I haven't researched that quite as much.
Guy, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi. My wife and I have been foster parents for about 8 years, and we've had probably 6-7 children throughout those 8 years. And one of the things that I've noticed that in those 8 years, we haven't really had a lot of support from not only the county but the state. I mean, obviously, there's trainings and things like that that we have taken, obviously, because we have to maintain our certain number of classes we have to have for our license. But one thing I don't really know enough, and it's my own fault, but what kind of support, whether it's financially or training, do these additional bill or additional acts that were signed into law provide for foster families like myself? Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Natalie, go ahead.
Sure. So one of the bills that was recently signed into law was around creating funding to support foster parents. And I think he's right. I think there does need to be greater support, greater training for these families. And one of these bills seeks to do just that. It at least takes the first steps. So hopefully we are on the right track to better supporting our foster parents, because they do a really important job. So my hat's off to all foster parents.
And Mike, may I ask you, what specifically in your situation, having been a foster parent to a number of children, what type of support would be really beneficial? What would make an impact day to day on the family?
That's a good question. I would say that there's a lot of times where, at least my wife and I, we feel as if the county or the state focuses a lot of their financial and also their personal resources with the birth parent or birth parents in getting them the resources they need to get better, to have a more safe environment and things like that. A lot of times there's a lot of need for the foster parents to have a lot of support in helping with the child or children in the home, whether it's going to the dentist or taking them to school or having extra methods for respite care, things like that. And what I've seen or what we've seen is that a lot of times they just kind of ignore the foster parents and what their needs are. And it has been a problem, at least that we've seen. And we have, we're part of a foster care family, which means there's a lot of other foster families in our county that we rely on for support and help.
Look to other foster care families to get that support where you need it. We'll be back with this conversation on the State Capitol Report in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 11 bills that Governor Walker signed last week on the foster care system include increased funding for the 211 Wisconsin Helpline, the release of treatment records of a foster child to their caregiver when necessary, and the creation of a pilot program in 5 counties, creating the right to legal counsel for parents in CHIPS proceedings. That acronym stands for Child in Need of Protection and/or Services. We're breaking down the new laws, what they do, here on the morning show. Natalie Goodnow, a research fellow for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you pleased with the so-called Foster Forward package of bills? Why or why not? What do you think the state needs to do next to support foster children and their families? Do these bills accomplish what is needed? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Marta now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marta. Hi, Marta. Are you there? Nope, Marta is not there, but has been. Hi, Marta.
Hi. Do you want me to ask a question now?
Yes, please. Yeah, you're on the air. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was a foster parent to an infant.
Oh, and we're losing. We have really bad reception there, Marta. I'm going to try to say your question. You've been a foster parent once, applied a second time, and requirements were stricter, and she thinks the requirements were too strict and wants to know why the requirements are so stringent. Natalie, your insights there.
Sure. I'm not sure when those requirements changed, but my guess would be there was something that happened in the system that triggered the need for greater caution. That would be my guess. But look, at the end of the day, we're trusting people with these children's lives, safety, and well-being. So the state really wants to be sure that these kids are in the best hands. Now, sometimes states might be a little overly cautious, and that could turn away some people from being foster parents, unfortunately, which is not good in a time of high need. But in this situation, I'm not exactly sure what the requirements were, but my guess would be something had happened, and the state wanted to make sure they were doing what they could to protect the children in their care.
Marta, is the reception any better now? Can you hear us?
I'm not sure if it is. Can you hear me?
Yeah, much better. Go ahead.
Okay. When I applied to have an older foster child, the requirements were such that I had to have a fire escape. I couldn't put children, even of the same sex, in one bedroom. And normal biological kids get raised with much less stringency or requirements
than what the system is saying that you have to have.
Yeah, what the system allows.
Uh-huh. Have you reapplied?
I've adopted two children. One of them I adopted before I was a foster parent. And one of them I adopted after I was a foster parent. And the requirements weren't that strict. I mean, I didn't have to have fire escapes, and I could put my daughters in the same room. So it just, you know, it just did not seem acceptable to me.
Marta, you saw a stark contrast between the things that avenues to go through adoption versus avenues to go to be a foster parent. So, Natalie, let's walk through future efforts Wisconsin could undertake to improve outcomes for foster children. That was detailed in your report. Can you tell us about how allowing a child to stay in foster care until they're 21 could make an impact?
Absolutely. So a lot of states have started moving in that direction to allowing kids to stay in care up until the age of 21. In Wisconsin, kids are more likely to age out at 18 unless they haven't graduated high school and they have a specific education plan, in which case they can stay in care a little bit longer. But research done in the Midwest has shown that the outcomes are worse for kids who age out at 18 versus those who are encouraged and do stay in care until 20 or 21. It provides greater stability for them to pursue work and education opportunities, and that in turn has better outcomes for other areas of their life, including things like pregnancy, homelessness, different types of stability, relational outcomes, improved educational outcomes, and so forth.
Let's bring in Marie now, joining us from Green Bay. Good morning, Marie.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead, Marie.
Hi. Hi, good morning. I was calling to talk a little bit about the need for transparency with social services and the foster care system. I was asked to take in two children, which are related to me. They are brother and sister. And I did so. When I took them in, I was told that I was going to have a plethora of services, including being licensed to be a foster care parent so that I could have some monetary support, not just the $200 approximately that they give you for kinship care. Once the kids were in my care, I was told, oh, well, you know what, you guys are good enough for kinship care, but we're not going to give you foster care license because this, your house is too small and the siblings have to share a bedroom. And I just think that it's a disservice to foster parents that are trying to do the best we can for these children to be given the hopes of all the support by the department, but then no follow through.
Maria, thanks. Marie, thanks for bringing that to the table. It sounds along the lines of what Marta in Milwaukee talked about, Natalie.
Yeah, well, I think right here you're saying that, as she said, there's a little bit of a breakdown in communication. And I think one of the most important things is for people to understand, you know, what the situation is going to be like, whether that's the licensing, whether that's the supports, financial or otherwise. It's incredibly important that the child welfare services are completely upfront with folks about what's required and what's ahead.
What other efforts could Wisconsin take on in order to improve the lives of foster children?
Another thing that I think Wisconsin should look into is how its foster youth do in terms of driving and getting their licenses. So other states that have looked into this found that the kids in care were much less likely to have a driver's license, a permit, to know how to drive. And I think it would be great if Wisconsin would look into that and make sure that there isn't a similar problem here, because if there is, steps really should be taken to address this. I mean, in Wisconsin, it's a little hard to get around without a car. And if you don't have a driver's license or know how to drive, your work and educational opportunities are going to be significantly limited and reduced. And so it's important to make sure these kids are being taught the appropriate life skills while they're in care.
Oh, and that foster family may say, well, we don't want to add this teenager to our car insurance because our car insurance will go up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a couple other states have started to take steps in this direction to make it easier for kids in care to get a license, to learn how to drive and so forth, so that it isn't completely financially on the foster parents' shoulders. And to make sure that that happens.
In your report, you also say that additional research is needed. What areas would be the target of this new research?
One of the areas that more research needs to be done on is why children are spending more time in care now. So the median time in care that children have has increased dramatically over the last few years. It's, in fact, doubled. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing if it's for the correct reasons, but it's just unclear why they're in care so much longer, and that should be a red flag. Is that the problem in and of itself, or is it a symptom of a bigger problem? For example, overworked caseworkers, or are these cases more complicated and they're simply taking longer, and so these kids are spending longer in care? So I think that would be a great next step for the state to investigate in that area.
So Governor Walker signs 11 bills into law last week. What is the timeline for the impact of these bills to take effect?
Well, I think we're going to see the wheels start turning right away. Some of these bills are more pilot programs, or they have a kind of a few year timeline on them before they're assessed. So I think you're going to see action start happening right away. But it'll be a couple years before we're able to see how they're affecting change and what the results are.
Natalie, what are you watching as this proceeds, as foster care system evolves in Wisconsin and these updates take effect?
One of the things that I will be watching is honestly just to see how they report on it, how what their transparency is, and watch and see what the data says. I would love for them to improve their data collection and data sharing a little bit more, and I think that'll help indicate how successful these changes are being.
Well, Natalie, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure being here.
Natalie Goodnow is a research fellow for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. She joined us to discuss a package of bills signed into law that aim to help the state's foster care system. Earlier, we heard from Rich Kramer, WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire, who briefed us on the status of building a frac sand plant on rare wetlands in Monroe County. This hour of the State Capitol Report was produced by Brianne Chasso, Colleen Leahy, and Keely Boltina. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.